So, for this morning, and probably today, I think initial area of attention and focus for the larger theme is really with the experience of anger. Everything else has its relevance in terms of both conflict, reconciliation, and forgiveness in relationship to this. And so this is really the beginning point. And it's a great word, isn't it? Anger. We probably have a range of associations with it. A range of different ways we can experience. I'm curious, just to begin with, if we were to just take a moment to reflect for yourselves, what are your associations with the word, the experience, or what we understand it to be? What are your associations? What's your initial response? Is it something like, it's bad? Is something good? Something confusing, unsure? What might you say, you know, that you associate with anger? I'm just curious if anyone would like to offer a word or two, not making a comment on it, but what words or concepts or ideas might you associate with anger? What's your sense of it? Does anyone have a response to that they might be willing to share? Actually, just let me pause that a moment. Just before we go there, what I'd like to just acknowledge and perhaps say quite clearly and specifically is that, as I think I touched on earlier, it might be a little sort of challenging at times to talk about or to share in an authentic way our experience in this territory. And so the first thing I want to name is that I can't imagine that anyone would be coming here apart from having some real caring and interest and understanding in a way that would be of benefit for well-being for themselves and others, perhaps, this territory. I don't imagine any of you came here to have sort of an opportunity to unload your anger on somebody else. You know, it's sort of like, great, here's somewhere where I can be angry with everybody else. I've been looking for that for a while. There's plenty of it to go around, so here we go. I'm imagining that's really unlikely. But at the same time, we might have experiences that have some charge with them in this territory. So I'd like to ask that when you speak, that you don't comment on other people's experience or other people's views and perceptions here. I might do so on occasion, and I'll attempt to do so as skillfully as I'm able, but certainly not in a way which would ever suggest that someone shouldn't be having their experience or their understanding of it. There's always room for further understanding and unfoldment, but one of the things that makes any genuine exploration possible is a certain permission to start where we are and a willingness to look at that from a compassionate perspective of wanting to understand it in order to free it up. So first of all, in terms of when we speak, that be a framework for whatever, whenever we speak. And I'll say more perhaps as we go along. But also that what is spoken here is something that we keep here. So that we're not going to go home and report on what somebody else said, and that person said this, and this person shared that. That it's really for here, for us. And so that therefore anything that's spoken about is an offering to this group, as it is configured here. And not, I mean, what I speak about differently. The microphone, I don't think, will pick up anything you say. It's pointing at me. So my words, some of which will be perhaps shared, but mostly from when I'm giving some teaching rather than from interactive sections, just like I'm about to open up. Does that feel clear for everyone and okay with everybody? Good. Good. So, yeah.
Just three things really. Rage, volcano, loss of control.
Rage, volcano, loss of control. Okay. Explosive. Okay. Yeah.
Hurt.
It's
a negative emotion that we reject.
Okay. So it's a negative emotion that we, in a sense of socially reject, or?
We reject in ourselves.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just letting you express that. So there's the experience and the relationship to it of rejection. Great. Yep.
Danger zone.
Danger zone. Yep.
can be a motivating force to know when boundaries have been crossed.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Are people hearing that? So it can be a motivating force to know when boundaries are crossed. Yeah. Okay. I'll try and remember to reflect everything again. Yeah.
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. Yes.
Opposing something
is a reaction opposing something. Yes, good.
Scary and uncivilized.
Yes.
Taking hold of me.
Taking hold of me. Being grabbed by it. Something. Yeah.
Energy and focus.
Energy and focus. Yes.
Power.
Uh huh.
Resentment.
Yes?
Frustration.
Okay.
Cold.
Yes?
Curdling of care.
Curdling of care. Mm. Lovely, yes.
I've also found that sometimes with a sadness underneath it too, that's explored as well too.
Sadness underneath it. Mm. So just as we're going, and welcome if there's any more expressions to let them come, but I'd like to also invite you to notice what's your response to hearing the different expressions that are being articulated. So did anyone have a response in themselves, not to anyone particular, but what was it like to start to hear a few responses there? I know for myself I was actually enjoying it and touched by some of what was said, in fact everything that was said, but I'm curious, what's the response to letting ourselves hear what we have to say collectively?
Huge sense of relief.
Relief, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, relief, yeah. Any other responses anyone noticed?
It's like alienation with some of them.
Okay, good. Alienation, some of them I don't connect with or relate to. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Transformation into something positive.
Ah, so that sense of transformation. So some of the expressions refer to a sense that could be positive and feeling a shift. So it's a more ambiguous territory than we might have first imagined. Yes?
Just like me.
Just like me. All these other people. Yeah, strange, huh? But important to have that sense, because anger is something we don't often talk about. And when we talk about it, we often talk about it from that perspective that it's bad, it causes harm, look at it. And of course, there's a truth to that. And in terms of, you know, the Buddha's teaching, there's a lot of pointing to the harmfulness of where it's not skillfully held and understood. And yet, that also tends to go along with a sort of a social attitude towards it, in which somehow there's a kind of an encouragement to suppress it, or to even deny that it exists, you know, or that if it exists, it means something about me that I don't want anyone else to know. And so, again, just letting a little bit of that come into the space is important. Is important.
I think there is also a quite positive attitude, which can be quite unique at times.
Certainly, yes.
And something that
right. You're not quite sure. Okay, so the people here, something that could be beneficial, could be a relief, but could be damaging if not tempered. So again, it's pointing to that it's developing skill in relationship to a very potent force. That's in a way the larger hope and vision of what we could do over this weekend, is actually look at the territory and see the ways in which it plays out that aren't skillful, because we're not going to just immediately, oh, this is how you do it skillfully, and then we do it. You know, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But unfortunately, if that's what you've come for, I'm not quite sure I have that capacity to offer the simple, do it like this and it'll be all okay. But there are a lot of ways we can explore it and begin or continue a journey of transformation with regard to both the inner experience and the outer expressions of what we put under that heading in a way. So I just want to have a look at, I've found myself making reams of notes, which I haven't entirely organised, because there's just, I realise, a lot that could be said. And I just want to have a quick look at those as we're going, because, yeah, that's right. There's a couple of things I wanted to say at this point. The classic Buddhist teaching, I think it's really good to have this in perspective, how we have probably heard this teaching. Are you familiar with the simile of the saw? Okay, so this is one of the Buddhist teachings that is often referred to in this context, and sometimes might seem that he sets the bar rather high in terms of spiritual practice. He says, and let's just find the right version of it, of which I've got at least two here. He's talking to a group of monks who have been engaged in some degree of reactivity and conflict, and he says, it's the Kakapamada, Kakapama Sutta, if anyone's interested, Majjhima Nikaya 21. But he says, monks, even if bandits were to savagely sever you limb by limb with a double-handled saw, even then, whoever of you harbours ill will at heart would not be upholding my teaching. Monks, even in such a situation, you should train yourself thus. Neither shall our minds be affected by this, nor for this matter shall we give vent to evil words, but we shall remain full of concern and pity with a mind of love. We shall not give in to hatred. We shall live projecting thoughts of universal love to those very persons, making them as well as the whole world the object of our thoughts of universal love. So, I don't know what happens when you hear that particular teaching. It's kind of, oh gosh, that would be remarkable, wouldn't it? To be sawn in half by a two-handled saw, by bandits, and to actually be feeling loving kindness for them, as they did it. I'm pretty confident I'm not there. And sometimes this is translated slightly differently. And I just want you to hear this again, because it's probably underpinning some of your experience. This is another translation of the same section. It says, suppose some bandits catch one of you and sever his body limb from limb with a two-handed saw. If he should feel angry thereby, even at that moment, he is no follower of my teaching. Now that seems like, actually, to my mind, an interpretation that's beyond useful. Because in the first one, you may have heard, he who harbours ill will, or she who harbours ill will. That's very different, to my mind, than feeling anger. Okay, but the way the translation comes through, at least one version here, and respected translator, I'm not being critical, that's one way you could read the language. And then it says he is no follower of my teaching. Now, you don't have to sign up to be a follower of the Buddha's teaching here. But in terms of that sense of what he's talking about, I think it's really important that we understand the difference between feeling anger and harbouring ill will. Okay, harbouring ill will is where we've landed in a particular position and we've become fixed in it. And in the first version, it's made clear that this is a way of training. So to train ourselves towards the possibility of opening our heart, even under the most difficult situation. And it's also made clear that this is a simile. This isn't something that he's expecting his monks will actually undergo. But it's like, if you think, okay, the way he puts it is, so there's some difficult and annoying things that happen in our lives. But if we could compare them to that, and if we could imagine the possibility of being open in that situation, maybe the slightly less extreme situations we ourselves actually face, we might consider working with. Does that make sense when I say that? You follow? I want to name it because I wanted to read that piece because it's sort of like, it makes it sound, if it's not held correctly, like an absolute. And that to experience anger is to fail at Buddhist practice. And it's really clear to me in my reading of the teachings that on occasion the Buddha seemed like he might be just a little bit irritated with what was going on. And again, I just want to put this out right at the front, because before we go into the territory more, I think it's good to know we're following in the footsteps of some seasoned practitioners, shall we say. There's a sutta where a story from the Buddha's life where he's about to meet a group of 500 of his monks, and when he encounters them, they're really noisy. They're talking and they're arguing and they're sort of quite they're quite loud. And his response when he encounters them, because, you know, he's trained them to be calm and to be peaceful and to be quiet, all those good Buddhist things, you know, you've got a sense of that. You have any association with Buddhism or meditation practice of being good and quiet and calm and not noisy? We do silent retreats, after all. I'll say a bit more about silence a bit later. This isn't a retreat as such. And he actually says, essentially, he dismisses them, as the language used. It's like, as far as I can read, he says, get out of my face, I'm done with you. I don't want anything more to do with you. Now, it sounds like that's, to me, if I read that, a kind of a reactive and kind of angry response. Now, you could take it as a different thing, or maybe it was a compassionate teaching, but that's how it sounds like to me. And there are situations like where you see the Buddha has a very strong response to things. So the strength of response is something maybe we can recognize when something is difficult, when we don't like something. The fundamental territory is about this response we have in us to that which we find difficult. One response is, of course, to withdraw. The other response is to attempt to push it away. We talk about fight and flight. And that attempt to push away expresses itself in anger in various forms. Now, I want to just distinguish here in terms of the different kinds of what we could call experiences of anger. There's different ways it can arise for us, and different words we might use. And so we might talk about being angry, we might talk about being annoyed, irritated, frustrated, upset. And there's another word that also comes into the realm of anger, which could be described as outrage. Now, it's not necessarily that we're going to use these words in ourselves the way I'm using them here, but I want to make a distinction initially between that kind of anger that we experience when basically we're not getting it the way we want it, or what's impinging on us is painful or difficult or unwished for. There's plenty of that in life. That's a form of reactivity that's profoundly unhelpful to become lost in. I'm not saying it's bad or that it shouldn't happen, but it's not helpful if we become lost in or completely identified with through the patterns of thinking that are born out of that reactivity. But there's also a response we experience when we encounter that which we could call injustice, or that which is clearly causing significant objective harm in the world, or to others, or even to ourselves. And that's different. And that's part of the territory in which some kind of response may be really required from us. To say, no, that's not okay. It doesn't have to be done angrily, but the fact that we might feel angry in that context often has the effect, I think, of somehow undermining our sense of concern or the validity of its expression. And again, in the Buddhist world, it's very easy, if someone comes with a strength of charge in their concern, for it to be dismissed. Oh, that's just reactivity. You know, you shouldn't be so angry about the terrible things happening in the world. It's just reactivity. Now, yes, there may be reactivity in it, but there may also be something that really needs to be attended to, needs to be responded to. And while that's true, a lot of anger comes to us with a strong sense of, I've got to do something about the thing that seems to be causing the anger. And often that's not actually what we need to be doing. When it's more in the realm of our preferences and our kind of likes and dislikes not being met. what's really going to be transformative is attending to the inner experience, taking care of the inner experience, and learning what that means for us to do that. So what can also arise around the experience of anger and the territory here is that we can be judgmental of ourselves for having it. We can experience judgment from others, criticism from others, anger even from others about the fact that we are or were or have been angry. And it's something that many of us will have experienced when we're very young. Very strong message, it's not okay to be angry. We don't like it when you're angry. And in fact, if you don't be something other than angry, we're going to get angry with you. And since we're bigger than you, you're not going to like that. That's a very early message that most of us get, because most of us have grown up in families and communities where there isn't really a lot of skill or awareness with anger. So most of us carry, even before we encounter Buddhist teachings or any conscious sense of social sort of ethics, some degree of prohibition on the very experience itself. Probably I don't need to ask this question, but I'm going to, just so that it's clear for everyone. Is there anybody here who doesn't know what I'm talking about when I say we experience anger sometimes, i.e. for whom that's not their experience? Is there anybody here who, you know, anger doesn't seem to have been something you've encountered? It's okay if that's true.
I think it's beginning
to be. Okay. Starting to get... Yeah, so it's fine. Sometimes we don't experience it very consciously, or we don't have a sense of that being something that's happening. It's all right, it may not be. Have you had the experience of encountering it in other people? Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, okay, so is there anyone who's never encountered it in someone else or doesn't feel like they've experienced or recognised it in someone else? No. Okay. So we've either seen it coming or coming up or coming towards us in some situation, for sure. Yeah. So this next piece might, for those who don't have a strong sense of it inwardly, it might seem a little challenging initially, but just go with what's true for you. What I'd like to invite you to do is just to take a couple of moments and just ask yourself, is there anything that makes me really angry that I'm aware of right now? Is there any way in which... Okay, I want to unpack that a little bit. From a point of Buddhist teaching and understanding, we can see that anger is something that arises according to conditions and that ultimately isn't who we are. And that's really useful in actually beginning to free ourselves from the power of it. But if we start from a position that, oh, it's not really me or mine, therefore I'm not really going to have anything to do with it, despite the fact that it's happening here, that won't be that useful. So I'm not setting out any absolute position of asking you to identify with the experience of anger here, but at the same time to acknowledge if it's something that happens in your experience. And so, again, this is probably not what we, you know, much of our life seems to give us plenty of opportunities to be angry. We probably could imagine that coming to a exploration of the topic in this context, we might be invited to think about the things that help us not be angry. And we'll perhaps get to there. In fact, we will get to there. But what's it like for you, first of all, when I ask you to contemplate or bring to mind things that make you feel anger or give rise to the experience of anger for you? So you don't have to say what they are at this point. What's it like when I ask that to actually contemplate it? Just take a moment. I can think of a few things. What happens for you? First of all, is there resistance? I don't want to. Or, no, I'm pretty fine. I'm fine, fine. I don't do anger. Any responses? Yeah?